are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by SID Media. We are on quarter four, and then we are on lesson eight, Mission to the Needy. And I believe my pastor, Pastor Nyika, is already joining me on the line. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Amo. Thank you. How are you?
I am good, Mfundisi. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Okay, shall we bow our heads for prayer? Our Father, our God in heaven above, we praise, we glorify your name. As we are about to enter into this lesson study, we invite your presence in our midst. The same spirit that you used to inspire the writing of the lesson, we invite it, such that it can even explain unto us so that we can implement even these things after having understood them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, Mission to the Needy, and today we're going to be looking at Tuesday's lesson, which says refugees and immigrants. Can you please take us through that lesson?
Thank you very much. So maybe as we are continuing with the lesson, mm-hmm. yesterday, it's actually the day before yesterday.
Yes, on Monday.
We were looking at maybe just a recap on Mission to the Needy, and we were saying the faith of the friends. And then also Monday I was talking about Christ's method and Christ's method alone. So today we're looking at refugees now, still implementing those things that we learned prior. So you find that people one way or the other, especially in this world that we are now living in, people move mm-hmm. from one place to another, and it's attributed to a number of factors. I think the author also brings it up. He says the immigrants and refugees have become mostly debated subject, especially because there are so many of them today, whether displaced by war, natural disasters, or for the hope for a better economic future. So you find that one way or the other, people move from place to place. It's either it's because of a natural disaster, it can be as a result of a war, or it can be a result of people moving, looking for greener pastures. I was looking at people who are moving to the UK, especially from Africa, going to the UK, whereby are going for NICE aid and all these other aids that they are trying to seek for. But unfortunately, when they get there, to their surprise, they then find that the people, the sponsors that had invited them, then tell them that we don't have any job.
Hey.
And the money that people would have paid for them to travel, for them to book these agencies, is ludicrous. About 5,000 for some, only to be told that, no, we don't have any job for you. Yet somebody would have already done what? Already taken that money. So now, when these people have now come, we are then called to love them, to meet their needs, and to take care of them. So it's quite challenging. I was even thinking of South Africa. You guys are in trouble.
Yeah.
We have people who are coming from this side in Zimbabwe, people coming from Zambia, people coming from Mozambique, and they are there now. And you are supposed to take care of these people who are taking some of your jobs, who are taking some of your, you know. So it's quite challenging. I'm actually reminded when I was at school, we used to have this lesson.
Oh, Mfundisi is coming back there. He's just telling the children to quiet down. It's break time. He's a teacher. He's in school. So he's just telling them to quiet down there. He's going to beg in a while. Remember that you can go to ssnet.org. You can go to ssnet.org in order for you to follow through with the lesson study, that so that as we are talking, you are able to follow through there. It's ssnet.org. And yes, we are on our Tuesday lesson, which is refugees and immigrants. There's a Mission to the Needy. Pastor, welcome back.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem.
So I was saying, back at university, so Lucy, we had this course called ethics class. And in the ethics class, the lecturer would bring scenarios which were so unheard of that when you think of them, you're like, yo, we would try to argue and bring about our solutions that were Christian-based. And we say, you know what, the Bible teaches us to say this. Then one person said something that I tried to look at it in a different angle. He said, okay, yes, guys, we've said all this, we've made biblical reference, but let us be real for a moment. And I was actually shocked and moved by that, to say Christianity seems to be something which is not real. It is something that we apply during the weekend when we go to church. But during the course of the week, we can find other methods. We can use different ways to maneuver and, you know, to tackle life settles. But Christianity is only applied on Sabbath. Mm. But on these other days, we can do anything else. But now the lesson is saying, no. You need to be a Christian throughout the week. You need to help the needy. You need to love them. So it is quite challenging. It's a charge maybe that I can give to us, or that the Bible and the lesson is giving to us this day, to say we need to be Christians 7 days a week, not a 7-day Adventist, but 7-day Adventist.
And as you were saying, the MPDC, as I was reading, I think it's the second last paragraph, they're saying that how can we minister to immigrants and refugees? It is difficult because in some countries it may not be politically correct to mingle or help those people, you know, yet we must do what we can. And I love how you also mentioned, for example, the issue of South Africa. But besides that, in other countries as well, there tends to be that thing of like, we don't know you, you know, that kind of a thing. And we're like, we don't know these people, where it becomes a problem to us to minister to them. Do we get any advice from the lesson on how can we now minister to refugees and immigrants?
Thank you very much for bringing that one out. So like you said, some places it's not politically correct to interact with these people, but Christ's method as a Christian is the best one of all. To say we maneuver. The Bible even calls us to be wise as serpent, you know, and humble as doves. So we need to find methods and ways in which we can maneuver through these different situations, and how we can get to preach Jesus. So we ought to get to know these people. I think that's the first call, to know who are the refugees. Because sometimes we might live our life and be indifferent even of the neighbor, the person who's next to the door, the person who's renting an apartment next to your flat. But we are called and we are charged to get to know people and get to know them. I also, there's this one that I had highlighted. Where is it hiding it? Mm. It was a small sentence. I hope I'll be able to find it.
You will find it, Mpundis.
I can't find it, but I'll highlight it.
Yes, please.
It says, maybe it's this one. It says, though reaching them for Jesus is the foundation of our mission. This is the refugees. We need to help those in need purely because they need help. So maybe sometimes the challenge that we might face as Christians is like we feel as if we are fulfilling an obligation to say the church is saying one member, one soul. The church is saying reach one, meet one, bring one, and all this that we bring about. But we many a times we do this so as to fulfill an obligation. But the greatest obligation that we are being charged even here by the lesson is we need to do it because people really are in need. We really need to, and for you to be able to meet people's needs, you also need to know them. So that calls for us also to get to know these people, the refugees, know them even on a personal level. I was looking even at the issues in Central Africa. You find that people would migrate and not as a result of wars. You have the Rwanda war, the Hutu and the Tutsi, and they've moved from their country. They've come to your country. And you see a person who's come in, and maybe there's another one, whereby you see a new face at church. How many times have we taken it upon ourselves to get to know that person as an individual? Sometimes we can have the whole lesson or the whole sermon going, yet this person is from Mozambique. I remember this past Sabbath, the person sitting next to me was actually from Mozambique. But luckily enough, they could understand a little bit of our local Shona language. So it's quite difficult. So I think mostly we need to get to know people. Let's get to know people on their personal level. Know them, then we meet their needs. And meet them genuinely because they need that.
Indeed, Mpundiswami. And then what about those that are hurting when we come to Wednesday's lesson? What about those that are hurting? And with this one, I've seen, Pastor, that, you know, on most of the time we are cautious or we are insensitive when it comes. So I'm hoping this lesson will help us that, because it's either we don't do it, or when we do it the wrong way.
I think I'm realizing that the lesson is circling back on knowing people. This one time somebody says to me, you know what, I struggled to have a child. I've been married. Getting married is a struggle on its own. So people are hurting by not being married. Then somebody finally gets a breakthrough, they get married, and when they are now married, they get there and it's been a year, it's been 2 years, it's been 6 years, no child. And what do as church members? You guys are not serious. Why are you still playing? This one, where's the child? What are you doing in that marriage? And these people are hurting in their marriage. It's painful. They are trying everything. They visited doctors. They've done everything. They've prayed. They've fasted. They've been to prayer band. And there's no breakthrough coming out for them. And we say these comments, why? Because we don't know them. But if we had gotten to know them at a personal level, and we've gotten to know that this person is hurting in A, B, and C, some of the comments that we pass, you'll notice that we won't be passing them as we do. And it's unfortunate that the church, which is supposed to be a place where people, it's a place of refuge, it has become a place of torture, where people are reminded of their faults, where people are reminded of their shortcomings and their struggles. Why are you not doing this? Why are you failing at school? Why are you not getting a job? Like, I think I told you this one time about this young lad who committed suicide. He then leaves an ordeal. And, you know, it's a sad story that happened here in Zimbabwe, at our university for that matter. After having left that ordeal and I was listening to it, and this person is hurting. And one of the reasons that he gives is the comments that people were giving. And as a result, somebody gets to a point whereby they say, you know what, I don't think I'm able to continue with this life. Why? Simple, because somebody made a comment that they were so indifferent about, they didn't even consider what effect it's going to have on the next individual. So if we get to know people, we are going to know where it is that they are hurting, we are going to know what challenges they are having, and thus, as a result, we are going to be able to meet their needs, whether they are hurting financially, physically, emotionally. And I was looking at the lesson here. It makes mention of how people are actually hurting. It says, where is that part? I think it's there on the introduction of Wednesday. To say in the Western countries, people are, maybe let me read it as it is. It says, people are hurting, suffering, struggling. All one has to do, for instance, is read about the staggering amount of money spent on antidepressants in the Western world. Each year, to understand that material wealth alone does not even come close to guaranteeing happiness and or peace. So people nowadays are resorting to all these different things so as to try and to, you know, mitigate the cares, the worries and the struggles that they are having and that they are going through. So people really are hurting.
And even in that hurting, Pastor, you know, most of the time we don't realize, we only think that people are hurting, for example, when it comes to physical, physical hurt, we forget the emotional that, and I love how you also raised the issue of comments, that what you say matters a lot. There are people that say, you know what, now you can hit me as much as you can. That does not hurt the same way that words hurt. And once you have said those words, there's no way of taking them back.
You can't take them back. And the person, they carry that, and you know, and it's said that every time maybe they see something, they get constant reminders, and then as a result it becomes painful to say what somebody said. I always even check with this generation. I always laugh and tell my students to say, you know what, back then our parents would slap us, smack us, you know, give us all different sorts of hiding. And you just go there and you just put some warm water on a towel, you know, you just get that one over and done it. But now this generation, once they've been corrected or anything, they think that this is the end. And the only option that they have, they think suicide is the only solution. They think alcohol is the only solution. They think that sleeping around or a sugar daddy or a young boy who comes and tells them, I love you, because they are hurting as a result, it makes them so susceptible to these, you know, dangers that the devil then brings about, simply because they are hurting and they are not healing. I come back to the words, words we say.
Yeah.
I really wish we'd be cognizant of the words we say and ask ourselves to say, what I have said, is it building, is it destroying? Whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is of, you know, good reproach, think about it, but say it also.
Indeed, in
Fudiswam. I was also looking at Luke 4:18. Sorry for that one.
No, it's okay.
It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And Jesus, this is a prophecy that Jesus then comes and says, he reads it, and he says, this prophecy has been fulfilled this day. And these words are there in the Bible because God saw it and knew it through his wisdom that people are going to be hurting. And it is a charge and a call for us as Christians to be able to say that I have healed the brokenhearted. I have set at liberty. You look at sometimes some of us Adventists, you have a garden boy, you have a house girl. Are they at liberty by us being Christians? Or because they've become our servants, they really wish to say, you know what, this one time I met somebody who says to me, the person I have who's helping me at home, said it to me, I came to use as a last resort, but I made a promise and made a sworn an oath to say I will never work for a Seventh-day Adventist. So I was really hurt and touched by that, to say, how bad are we as Adventists? How bad are we as Christians that people say, I don't want to work for a Christian? Are we setting people at liberty? Are we setting people to be free? And even when you look at the fourth commandment, it calls for us to say, and on that day, no one shall work. Your servant, your maid servant, your man servant, and even the things that you have, your care to your livestock, they're supposed to be resting on that day. Are we setting people liberty by us being Christians, by us being Adventists?
Yeah, indeed, Mfundiswami. I think tomorrow on Friday when we wrap up, we are going to speak about greater love. But first, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray that we may love, we may help the those that are hurting, and also we may also love and help the refugees and the immigrants, forgetting everything else that is around us, but just extending that helping hand.
Amen. Shall we pray? Dear God in heaven above, we come once again before your throne of mercy, your throne of grace, committing ourselves and our lives unto you. To each and every person that is listening, I commit them unto your hands. I commit even the church, the world church at large. May you be with us as we are going to be studying these lessons. Father God, may they not be just a commitment to say we are reading them, but help us, Father God, to apply them in our lives. Help us, Father God, to look for those that are refugees in our communities, because some of them, Father God, they've been pushed and moved by so many different reasons that we can't even understand, save if we get to know them. We ask of you that may you help us, that we have a heart, and that we get to know these people. We know the refugees, we know those that are hurting, and get to know them at a personal level, and wherever it is that they are hurting, so that we can be able to meet their needs. Father God, when the roll is called up, you and I are going to come and say, well done, good and faithful servant. How we pray that we be part and parcel of that number. After having been faithful with those that are needy that you have left us with, even as the story of the Good Samaritan, the end of it says, when I come back, I shall reward you for that which you would have done. There are so many, Father God, people whom you have left in our care, those that are needy. May you help us that we take care of their needs. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day and for everything that you shall continue doing for us. In the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray you. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. We're going to be wrapping it up on Friday. Have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great one.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.